Lost Animals, the story of extinct, endangered and rediscovered species. Over 520 million years ago, all the major animal groups, mollusks, worms, crustaceans, vertebrates, appeared in what is, geologically speaking, the blink of an eye. As well as the animals we're familiar with today, evolution also experimented with now obsolete body forms. As this blank slate of the world filled up, some lines were erased while the other carried on to this day. Lost Animals brings back to life some of the most charismatic creatures to inhabit the planet. Delighted to be joined live on the line, zoologist Dr. John Whitfield, discussing the species we've lost, those we are only just discovering, and those thought extinct until rediscovered, and how we conserve them. Delighted to be joining me live on the line, Dr. John Whitfield. Good morning to you, Dr. Whitfield.
Hello there. Thanks for having me on. Nice to be here.
Pleasure is all mine. It's an interesting, wasn't it? I mean, you think about the species, the prelude says, you know, that the evolution had a blank slate and kind of tried some body shapes out. Well, it's summer, so we've all tried a few body shapes during lockdown. But, the way that evolution works, and some we lose and some sort of stick at it.
Yeah, that's right. So there seem to be times when animals open up new spaces, if you like. You think of them as maybe new markets, like the Cambrian explosion that you just described, or when animals moved onto land, or when the dinosaurs got wiped out, and suddenly there's a space for evolution to explore, and you get all these forms, animals that look weird and wacky to us, but that's probably because they didn't survive. If the weird and wacky ones had survived, the things we're familiar with now would look strange to us.
I mean, as a schoolboy, as most schoolboys were in the 70s, I had that Times dinosaur book, and then we moved on to things like the saber tooth and the mammoth and the megalodon and all that sort of thing. And they, you talk about wild and wacky, but there really were some interesting sort of shapes there.
Yeah, absolutely. So there are. So there are some of those that I do cover in the book, some of the ones you'll be familiar with, like the dinosaurs and the mammoth. But also, for example, there was a marsupial that looked almost exactly like a saber-toothed tiger. You also get the same shape appearing on different bits of the animal family tree.
So where do you draw the line, and what makes, if you like, what makes a brand successful? How come some of these animals have survived down the millennia, yet others we've lost?
Oh, we don't know is the short answer. It's not easy. Part of it might be luck. If the asteroid hadn't slammed into the Earth 65 million years ago, there might still be dinosaurs around, and we might have never got our chance. But there also might be things that you can see, things that seem to equip species for success. So, for example, flying is a really good idea because it gets you around the world. It gets you away from predators. So things like bats and birds have done very well. But also, let's remember that success is relative. You know, dinosaurs had a very good innings, but everything disappears in the end.
Indeed. But there are still some species that are with us. And also in your concern is some species that we're losing. I mean, should we be more concerned than ever about the rate at which we're losing? I mean, I think of something like the red colubus, which apparently is now extinct, although it was thought to still be around.
Yeah, well, that's one of those species that there's a type of red colobus that hasn't been seen for a few decades that we think has gone extinct, which would be the first primate to go extinct for several centuries, I think I'm right in saying. And yeah, like you say, there have been five periods in the past 600 million years when we've seen what are called mass extinctions. So a large proportion of the life on Earth just disappears. And we seem to be in one of those at the moment, judging from the rate that we're losing species.
So how do we conserve and how do we sort of resurrect, if you like? I mean, not something going to go back to Jurassic Park and start mucking around with, you know, the famous Jeff Goldblum quote, you didn't ask whether you could, you should ask if you should. But when we say resurrect, are we talking about reintroducing or trying to reintroduce into the wild? What are we talking about here?
Yeah, well, there are lots of things we could resurrect. We could resurrect habitats through what's called rewilding, where people try and return land that might have been forested or wildlands in the past to a more natural state, a more wildlife-friendly state. There are also, not dinosaurs, but there are projects to resurrect extinct species like the mammoth and the passenger pigeon, because we have their DNA now. So there are people working on creating, maybe if not these animals exactly, then sort of versions of them genetically concocted.
Yeah, didn't they discover one of those in the Siberia, a large sort of, which would be perfectly preserved in the ice, a mammoth. What's a passenger pigeon? Please don't tell me it's a mammoth size flight bird.
No, it used to be. I think I'm right in saying that it used to be the most common bird in the world. It was an American species, and there were flocks of billions of them. Used to cover the what's now the US and Canada, and they'd take days to pass by. But we wiped them out, basically. We killed so many of them. It's kind of a cautionary tale that you think there are so many of them that there's no way we could ever have an impact on it. But human hunters gradually killed them all, and the last ones went extinct in the early years of the 20th century.
And of course, I mean, everybody, every school person, every schoolboy knows about the dodo, etc. I mean, we're also talking about, there's also a lot of concern about invasive species being in, you know, becoming into habitats and wiping out the natural wildlife. Is that still a problem in some areas?
Yeah, absolutely. So as well as when humans go to somewhere they haven't been before, as well as their own hunting, they bring other species with them, like rats or cats or pigs. And particularly on islands like the dodo, where a species has got a long history of isolation and it's evolved without those predators, that can be catastrophic. And it still can be going on in places around the world like Hawaii, New Zealand, all those places that have been cut off for a long time. Very vulnerable to invasives.
You know, we talk about the world as if we know it all and we've mapped every, you know, because we've all got our mobile phones on us, we think that we've mapped the world in minute detail. But of course, without trying to sound too sort of dramatic, there are still huge swathes of the planet that we're not quite sure what's going on, especially, you know, in the deepest jungles, or indeed, you know, down at the bottom of some trench in the Pacific. We are still discovering species, and I'm not talking about, you know, finding the odd Tyrannosaurus in your backyard in Swindon, but I mean in terms of discovering small creatures that were thought to have been wiped out years ago. And of course, in the 70s there was that famous fish whose name I can never remember, begins with a C, off South Africa, that they found, that they thought was prehistoric and had disappeared forever.
Yeah, absolutely, that's the coelacanth you're talking about.
That's
there
the
which
one.
is a fish that lives in the Indian Ocean now, and it looks almost, the ones that we found in the 70s look almost identical to fossils from about 200 million years ago. And people thought it had gone extinct back then, but it had just been minding its own business deep in the Indian Ocean until someone fished one out in the 70s. And yeah, those are really signs about how, like you say, how little we know about the world. We still actually are finding decent-sized new animals, new mammals and new reptiles and things. But in terms of things like fungi or insects or, goodness knows, bacteria and things like that, we really have no idea how much is out there.
So why did you decide that the time was right? I mean, not that we're going to heading into another ice age, though, with current weather conditions, you never know. Did you think that it was, a fascinating to actually just remind people about conservation and what we've had and what we've lost and what we can reintroduce and what we can do?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, one of the things I want to emphasize is how the world, we think of the world as kind of very stable, sort of relatively predictable place. But if you look down through history, we've really only experienced a tiny part of what the world is capable of in terms of the species it can hold or in terms of the environment and the climate. And I think we'd all do well to remember that and try and use our imaginations and think that the world can be very, very different to how it is now, and that we really don't want it to be too much more different to how it is now, because we've evolved in this particular environment and we are not so well equipped for a big change.
Yeah, indeed. If you had to bring back one species or one now extinct animal, what would you go for, Doctor?
Oh, what a great question. There's a so there's a thing from going right back to the Cambrian explosion that you mentioned at the beginning. There's a creature called Opabinia that looks like, how can I describe it? It looks like a fleshy lobster with no legs. Right. It's got five eyes with stalks on its head, and it's got a trunk with a kind of claw-like grabber at the end. It's a little sea creature, maybe about, I think it's about as long as your hand, something like that. So one of those would be pretty cool.
I was thinking for the, what is it, the elephant with two tusks at the bottom of its head. What was it called? Was it Dinathinium or something like that?
Oh, yeah, that was an absolute whopper. They were about twice as big as the elephants we know today. So I could think of 10. It would be so interesting to see an Archaeopteryx again, like that link between the birds and the dinosaurs. It'd be amazing to see a whopping great dinosaur. Wouldn't that be amazing?
You wouldn't want to get too close, though, would you? If people want to find more information about this fascinating book, and also some to see where we're going with it and how the whole animal population sort of evolved, where can they find you? Is there a website? Are you on social media?
I am on, you find me on Twitter. You can go to johnwhitfield.co.uk is my website. I think the usual ways should work.
I've just got visions of putting out cat food and the saber tooth leaping over the fence, but there you go. This book is called Lost Animals. It's by Dr. John Whitfield. Dr. Whitfield, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks.